Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, welcome to another episode of the Press Box on ESPN 97.5 as we are rocking and rolling through a Tuesday in the big city. I've heard people chatting before this show, Nicholas, and I'm here to tell you, don't kid yourself. If you're now going to eat, understand that the listeners now can have the smorgasbord that they're looking for. Sports and so much more, brought to you by the Press Box. This week in baseball, could go to lunch. So that's what we're ready to do. Nicholas is here. I'm here.
Let's what do up, this, my Nick. Man? How you doing? What's going on? What's new in your life?
I don't know. All good in the neighborhood. Watched a little NBA last night. Games weren't real interesting.
And yet, ESPN 97.5's Twitter account, for some reason, every time we start the show now, it's something like the NBA playoffs are chugging along, and the Press Box packing Pac-Man Joel and producer Nick have plenty to talk about. Why are we the only show with the hashtag NBA playoffs, as if the entire program is going to be about the NBA?
Well, but we don't do that. I mean, I think that people look to us as being the experts on basketball, especially when you look at their across the rest of the lineup. But we mix it up. We get to a lot of different things. We're going to get to the Aaron Rodgers saga, because what I really want to get to is how Kenny Mayne wrapped up the interview. I don't know if you caught that or not.
I did.
But it was spectacular.
The way he ended the interview?
Yeah. Only Kenny Mayne could get away with the stunt he pulled last night. But in so many ways, it was so perfect for a network that after 27 years seemingly didn't do him right. And he was able to get a good parting shot at the end of the interview.
Hey, just last thing. Last time we did the interview together, you told me to go heavy in the cryptocurrency game. I did. We're down 40%. Then I lost my job. Gretchen just wants a new comforter. F*** you, Aaron Rodgers.
Just mic drop. Just absolutely fantastic.
I love you, Ken.
I mean, it was perfect.
Yeah, it was pretty good. He is one of the funnier broadcasters. I don't think he's a big, like, well-known name.
Oh, I do.
In ESPN, as much as people say, but I think he's a funny guy, and he's got charisma when he speaks. So, and I'm pretty sure they appreciated it. Maybe he just got too expensive. I don't know what the whole deal was with that exactly, but they were making some changes, and I thought that was a funny way to. Since we're on the subject, though, did you hear what he said about the philosophy and how it had nothing to do with love and all that other stuff?
Kind of sounded like a guy you work with, but go ahead. Yeah,
with my situation, look, it's never been about. Never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. He a lot of fun to work together. I love coaching staff, love my teammates, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way. And a lot of this was put in motion last year, and the wrench was just kind of thrown into it when I won MVP and played the way I played last year. So this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But look, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing. Green Bay has always been about the people, from Curly Lambeau being owner and founder to the 60s with Lombardi and Bart Starr and all those incredible names, to the 90s teams with Coach Holmgren and Farvey and the Minister of Defense, to the run that we've been on. It's about the people.
Nick, conspicuously absent from everything that Aaron Rodgers said were the two guys that I put this on from day one. The general manager, Brian Gutekunst, the president, Mark Murphy. The fact that the president, Mark Murphy, has said Brian Gutekunst's job is not in jeopardy. I believe it should. And I believe that someone, and this is what I've said to you in the past, I'm confused how a publicly owned team like the Packers works. Because they have a board of directors. And they have a whole bunch of people that have invested into the team, which is essentially just giving them free money because you don't get anything out of it. So I don't know who makes those decisions and gets the final word and say, but Mark Murphy's job should be on the line, and so should Brian Gutekunst, in my opinion.
I mean, that's fine, but he did sound like, going back to like what he actually said in the clip, I felt like it was kind of conflicting because initially, and I have to probably go back and play it again, but it sounded like first it's about the players, and then it went to it's about the people. At first it sounded like, oh, it's really about the players who actually win the ball games for you, and then when you continue to listen to the audio clip, well, it's about the fans and the people. Well, is it about the players or the fans? I mean, it's always about the fans to some extent. You're a football team.
But I think
you're a public football team.
Yeah, but he's basically saying it's the whole ball of wax, and it can be really good. But if you've got a couple of guys that don't have the same way of being visionaries and looking at it,
But who? The players or the fans?
No, it's the general manager and the president. It's the fact that,
right.
You know, his window's closing. And he's made the last two conference championship games, but he hasn't made another Super Bowl. And so the window's open for only a brief period of time to where you can win a championship. You have to put the right pieces around him. You got to be in go-for-it mode. You can't have one foot out the window in go-for-it mode and the other foot firmly on the ground going, we got to look to the future. And that's what they've always done. So they've always been good, not great. And that's the biggest knock on the entire franchise. You can't go 30-plus years of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and only go to three Super Bowls. You just can't.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's no doubt. And they have their approach, and I don't know if they're, like, regretting it right now, but maybe they are. I think the regret will actually come in the event that Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign, which is yet to be seen. So I don't care about the OTA stuff, but I did like the way Maine ended that. I thought that was
fantastic. But, again, it's he's got three more years on his contract, and he's always said, I'm not going to show up to anything until after August 1st because I think it's ridiculous. He's in Hawaii right now golfing, as he should be.
Good for him.
And for the OTA part of this, they never expected him, which is why they signed all these other quarterbacks that are not going to be on the roster to start the year, but that Mike Greenberg thought was the big sign that the end is coming. The bigger thing is, can they rectify this? Can Gutekunst and Murphy find a way to just mend fences enough so that he comes back? Because the rest of the roster is tuned and ready for another run. And I said, I think they should go after Julio Jones. That could be one of the moves that could really entice Aaron to say, I want to play.
Well, apparently, according to the Fox show with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless, Dallas Cowboys, I don't know if he was saying that tongue-in-cheek, but the Dallas Cowboys are off limits, and he's quote-unquote, I'm out of there, according to Julio Jones. So that's going to be interesting, especially considering there was a picture of him in Dallas wearing a Dallas Cowboys hoodie. Mm-hmm. So it makes it really interesting to see what's going to happen over there. I think the Cowboys could be an okay fit. I think the Packers would be an okay fit for sure. There's options. There's some options for Julio Jones.
Sure there is.
Depending on how much you think he's worth.
Well, but that's what I was going to say. You and I talked about in terms of his contract is, it's one thing to make the trade. They're looking for a first-round pick. I think the Packers would easily give up a first-round pick to get him. They just are going to have a harder time dealing with the $15 million a year left per year on his salary for the next couple of years and finding room in with the cap to make it work. And so is every other team, because that's a large amount of money for a receiver.
Yeah, I'd almost want to give up a second round and something if I can convince a team to do so. I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm not saying that he's a bona fide he's worth a first round pick. You don't know what you're actually going to get or what people actually know about Julio Jones in terms of his health and everything. So there's a lot of options. That's going to be an interesting move, but I think those type of moves will go into the spotlight as soon as, I guess, Aaron Rodgers' whole situation is, and that's obviously weeks away. We won't know, but there's other things to look forward to, like the Dodgers and the Astros.
Astros-Dodgers two-game series tomorrow night. Trevor Bauer with even more drama added because of his feuds with Alex Bregman and all of his accusations against the Astros and doctoring baseballs. But then, as we spoke about in the story that came out earlier this year, after the balls that he was using in a game were sent to the league office, his spin rate's gone through the roof. He's not actually almost indicated on certain innings he was going to do what others do. And we saw that too. So that's that. But tonight, two pitchers, not as good as they once were, but really interesting. Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke. Greinke, a former Dodger. We know the history between the Astros and the Dodgers. And full capacity at Minute Maid Park. I love it. It's a perfect environment. I guess the Dodgers were a little salty because they haven't gone full capacity in California. Yeah. They're going to get over that. I think it should be a great environment for baseball. I'm looking forward to watching the
series. And I kind of like that it's only a two-game series in and out really quick, especially in the event if the Astros do bad. And I don't necessarily anticipate that's going to be the case. You know, stats will show that they have better hitters up until this point right now. So they should be okay. But then now they're facing another left-handed pitcher, which is obviously something you got to be concerned about if you're the Houston Astros, and whether or not they'll get off to a good start. But I think this is a big game. I think this is an important game. And like the Yankees, from a mental standpoint, like Altuve getting that home run in the Yankees series, those are the type of plays I think that has to continue to happen against good teams like the Dodgers for them to deal with with everything that's going to be back in terms of blowback with all these fans and stuff still hating and trolling.
Don't you feel like, too, the hatred's just coming from Dodger fans? I don't know that the Astros fans hate Dodgers fans or hate the Dodgers. They know it's a good matchup, but they won. They won the World Series. They took them out. They did what they needed to do. They've made all the necessary moves where they've continued to have success. The Dodgers did what they had to do last year and finally got a World Series. But overall, I feel like all of the venom comes from Dodger fans. The only time Astros fans get irritated is on Twitter. When Dodger fans go over the top and take it to another level.
I mean, I think they hate the Dodgers fans, just obviously not as much as the Yankees for obvious reasons. But, yeah, I still think they hate them. As much as you would think, probably not. But I still think they hate them.
Yeah, I don't think it's to the degree that Dodger fans hate Astros and Astros fans. But I think you're right. There is, because of the rivalry. So it's also interesting. I saw Charlie's poll this morning of the teams that you hate. He had Cowboys, Lakers, and Dodgers on the list.
Oh, yeah, he did.
How you don't have the Yankees, the other American League team, the team that's caused all the issues, the team that also has been known to cheat, the team that has done all this from John Boy on, I would have put the Yankees number one on my list in terms of I'd never want to see him win another championship.
And I told them Knicks, but for that particular the example, he picked those three particular teams. So in the event that you only had those three teams to choose from, who would it be? The Cowboys, the Lakers, or the Dodgers,
and it turned out the Cowboys.
Yeah, and that's what it turned out. I picked the Dodgers. I think the Lakers. I mean, I think it was like 30-something% to 40-something%. So there was a definitively more people saying it about the Cowboys than the Dodgers. But yeah, that was the hypothetical that he gave out.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well,
yeah.
So there's lots to talk about. We're looking forward to this 2-game series. As Nick said, it's short, it's sweet, but it's going to be good, and it hopefully will be complete for Astros fans as they get back on the winning track, hopefully against the Dodgers. News out of the Skeeters that's going to be very pertinent to Astros fans as Jake Odorizzi pitched last night. We'll get to that as well. NBA playoffs and so much more. So if you want to join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listen line for calls and texts. Otherwise, Twitch and Twitter. On Twitter, it's at the producer Nick and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Together, we're the Press Box, and this is ESPN 97.5. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Look, the weather's kind of salty the last couple of days. You might find out that you have a leaky roof or you want to put a whole new roof on either your business or your house, and you need to know where to go to. You don't want storm chasers or companies that take your money up front and then don't do a very good job, and then when you call them to try and get them to fix it, they're not very accessible. Well, that's not the way they do it at Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing takes care of you every step of the way, and it starts with a no-obligation inspection that costs you nothing. It's free. And you call them, they come to you, they tell you what they can do. They do fences in your backyard. They do home repairs. They do everything to do with a roof. And they do it and start it with a free no-obligation inspection. Call them today, 832-521-3001. You can also go to FITZRoofing.com. But you're going to find out, like so many Houstonians have, they take care of you every step of the way. Fitz Roofing, making a difference, one home at a time.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box, just getting it rolling. Nick and myself till 4 on a Tuesday. Let's do this. Let's have some fun. Let's talk some sports and some other things. Kicking around. We've got some Dodger fans that already got their panties in a wad because they want to tell you how the Astros fans piss them off on a daily basis. Well, so, you can get over it.
Who
you
know cares? What? They're probably a couple of transplants. Look, and Charlie made this statement about this, about the California population, so I had to Google it. Mm-hmm. But apparently from 2010 to 2020, 6.1 million people left the state of California to move to other states, and only 4.9 entered the state. So let me tell you something, L.A. If you don't like Houston, why don't you go back to L.A., homie? How about that?
Straight up.
How about that?
Tell him, Nick. Tell him like it is. Tell him like it should be. So NBA playoffs last night, not a whole lot to speak of. The fact that...
Your Bucks did some...
Boy, did they come out of the gates firing. I didn't expect that.
Where the hell did the Heat go in the first round?
Well, you know what I said
to you before... I mean, the first quarter, excuse me.
I said to you, though, before the playoffs started. They're not the same Heat team that really was hot at the right time in the bubble last year.
Right, they're not.
Tyler Hero. I mean, if you're a Rockets fan, Nick, and you had it to do all over again, aren't you glad that James Harden wasn't traded for Tyler Hero as the centerpiece? Because going from a guy that everybody wanted, that Miami almost said was untouchable a year ago, suddenly, if they could dump him for the right price, I think they would dump out because they said he got infatuated with IM models. And
Twitch and streaming, right?
And, yeah, and all about him stuff. And he started to lose focus and stop focusing on basketball and started focusing on other things. He's from Milwaukee. He's got everybody there watching him. You would think he wants to show out. He barely showed up.
Yeah, it was bad. But I didn't expect Forbes coming off the bench, hitting three-pointers the way he did. Apparently, the Bucks had 10 made three-pointers in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And the guy off the bench finished with 22 points. So if you're coming off the bench shooting that efficiently and you're scoring well, as long as your starters do your job, you're going to be a very difficult team to beat in the playoffs. And I don't see any team coming back from a 26-point deficit in the first quarter. That's just ridiculous.
He couldn't miss Bryn Forbes. But I've told my friends this all season long. Milwaukee is a better team for the playoffs this year than they were the last two seasons as the number one seed because they're deeper. Because they can go – you can pull P.J. Tucker whenever you need him to go play defense – or get some fouls, and then you can go back and sit him back down. The other key, as we talked about, was finally Budenholzer changed the offense. If you notice, Giannis, for the last two seasons, brought the ball up. Now it's in Holiday's hands. He's kind of off the ball. They can still post him up so he can get it in the lane, but there's not that wall of him dribbling right into it where they can swarm him,
yeah.
And it opens things up for other guys. Middleton's been very good. Their role players have been good. They're a deep team. I don't think they're good enough to win the East, but I think they're a better suited playoff team than they've been the last 2 years.
Yeah, it's looking bad for the Miami Heat. I think the Heat are going to eventually lose this series unless they can do something different in games 3 and 4. And going back to your point about Drew Holiday, I mean, credit to Drew Holiday. He was the one that recognized that Forbes had the hot hand, and he kept going back to him. And I wonder whether a guy like Giannis or somebody else would have done the same thing because he's the star player and he kind of feels obligated to take over. But Drew Holiday recognized that and kept giving it back to Forbes. If you can get a player that can do that and have that veteran experience that can recognize something like that, that does wonders for the team, and it relieves the star players on your team from having to deal with all that pressure. So good to Drew Holiday. It wasn't the most exciting game. They got absolutely kicked in the you know what,
yeah.
but hopefully some of the games tonight will be better.
After halftime, I basically turned it off. I mean it was over.
You didn't see Giannis with the dribbling the ball with his feet.
Oh, yeah, I did see him.
That was pretty. That was random.
Then Antoinita Collins, who does the morning sports center, you know, he did it 9 times. He juggled it 9 times before he lost control of it. And they said, watch Tony Collins at the end of sports center. And they gave her a soccer ball. First time, she kind of screwed up a little bit. Second time, she did 12 times.
Yeah, I mean,
it's pretty impressive.
If you're a soccer player, you're kind of supposed to be able to do that if you're a soccer player.
I guess so. But yeah, I mean, did you see Trevor Ariza too, where he kind of tackled Giannis.
And then he would help
like
him up.
But they gently landed, and it looked like they were best friends. And all of a sudden, Trevor looked at him like, what am I doing? And then just shoved him to get up and get away.
I don't know if Giannis or Ariza said something to, like, make him, like, not help him up. But what it does is it hurts your cause when they go back to the instant replay. You know what I mean? Because if he went back to, oh, are you okay, and he helped him back up, it would help his argument in the event they went back to the instant replay. But because he didn't do that, and I don't know what they actually ruled it, whether it was a flagrant or not, but he got right back up. And look, that's a part of the competition in the NBA playoffs. There's no buddy, love, hug, stuff like that. The only time you see that The only time you see that is when someone who gets hurt, seriously, like when Chris Paul went down or LeBron James went down. Nobody wants to see that if a teammate goes down. But for the most part, there's no, it's all competition. There's no friendly.
I'm tired of it. I said forever, Kevin Garnett was the one guy that just wouldn't do that when he crossed the lines. He'd still want to kick you in the grapes and punch you in the mouth.
Yeah.
But most guys with the, from Isaiah and Magic back in the day with the kissy kissy stuff to all the guys that are always, that's my boy, that's my boy. You know what? You, the only boys you should have when you cross those lines should be the guys wearing the same uniform you're wearing. And it's just not like that in the NBA, for better or worse, if you like it or you don't. It's just the way it is. I like the fact in the second game that the, I guess, MVP for the year, Jokic came out and played his tail off, basically put the team on his shoulders, as you said, he was really going to have to do if Denver was going to show out.
Yeah.
They did. They couldn't afford to lose that game. I think it would basically was a do-or-die game for them. I also think Portland came out kind of soft when they could have actually taken full control of the series and said, you ain't coming back. But instead now, it's 1-1. It's still anybody's series. It should be a long series. But I'm glad Denver made it such with a win last night. But again, not much to watch as it was basically a blow.
It probably would have been. I mean, in the NBA, anything goes. But you're right. If Denver lost that game, I mean, that's, you're down two and you lost.
Both at home.
That is not a good situation to bounce back from in the NBA playoffs. But look, Joker has to put everybody on his shoulder. And he's dealing with a big, big missing piece. And he's doing all right. So good for him to get that tie. But yeah, I didn't watch all the games. But I mean, especially when it started getting out of the hand. But I went back and I circled back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really. I'm more looking forward to the Dodgers game tonight. But there's the thing is, the Astros and the Dodgers are playing. But the games on the NBA slate are better, too, like than yesterday's, that is.
Boston and the Nets is the early game, I think.
Yeah, the NBA slate is better this today. I would have rather seen the Dodgers play yesterday, but obviously you got to give them an off day at some point. So
yeah, and they needed it.
But I'll dual screen it, you know.
Yep. And Odorizzi, if you missed it last night, 4 2/3, struck out 7, walked none, says he's ready to go, ready to get back to the big club. That's a good sign for the Astros as they get another starting pitcher on the cusp of coming back. So, again, whether he fits into the rotation or not, what it does give you is options because the bullpen, as we've mentioned, is depleted and it's terrible. So if he comes back, maybe that means Luis Garcia ends up back in relief and he gives you an extra arm that's more reliable in the bullpen. Whoever the odd man out is for the Astros in the rotation is only going to make that bullpen stronger. So that's something you need to keep an eye on. And again, what was really cool last night was I had friends that went to the Skeeters game to see Odorizzi pitch. They're walking on the concourse by the bullpen, and Jose Urquidy is sitting in the bullpen, sitting as a fan in street clothes, watching guys in the bullpen and just kind of watching, and no one recognized him. My buddy's son did. They got a picture, and it's like that's the other cool thing about Astros with an off night and the AAA team playing. Pretty good chance you're going to go see your boys play. It's a great environment.
Might want to get
Sugar
out
Lake.
To Constellation Field.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been talking about that venue for a long time, and that's cool. That's cool to be able to see those type of players in a smaller, like it's just a different dynamic to see a big league player like that. This is some of the stuff Odorizzi had to say after the game.
Round rock arm wise, same kind of as today. Like, could throw a little more pitches, but you know, didn't want to overdo it. So today, kind of treated it like a normal game. Really tried to, you know, get in there and pitch how I would normally pitch. So I showed, you know, myself what I needed to see, and I'm comfortable. So I'm ready to go.
And he said he let it all go, didn't hold back, did everything in terms of letting his arm go through what he would normally go through as a start. Had no setbacks or issues. I'm fine with it. Let's bring him back.
Yeah, bring him back. I'm all good.
So there you have that. All right, we've got lots more to get to as we continue to roll with the show. At some point, Nick, we need to have this discussion because I found an article in which they were talking about what the ultimate burger is and what you would put on it. And I feel like everybody's opinion is different. I know Charlie's a guy that says he would never put cheese on a hamburger.
Yeah.
There's so many good ingredients, but there's also so many ingredients to me that would ruin it. I see these commercials these days for chili on a burger. And I just think it...
You don't like it?
I don't think you need all that. Maybe on a hot dog, but you don't need it on a burger.
People get pretty creative. And speaking of food, since you brought it up, did you see the deal that Guy Fieri got? A 3-year, $80 million deal with the Food Network?
I saw you tweeting that. Are you implying that you are a chef and that you should be in that
ballpark? If that's what it takes to make $80 million, I mean, Jeez. And look, it caused a lot of discussion because apparently he's viewed as a mean guy, but he's actually a good guy. And I was like, I didn't know all this about Guy Fieri. I never had a problem with
it. Is Gordon Ramsay the a-hole?
I think Gordon Ramsay's more of the he takes on that role. Particularly,
he comes across as that, yeah.
Yeah.
Cusses at the contestants.
Yeah.
And seems to be kind of crotchety. Guy Fieri seems to be I think he comes across as a decent dude.
That's what everybody on the thread was saying. It's like, dude, he's a good dude. Like, he gets a lot of hate because of his hairstyle and something else, but he's actually a really good dude. But 3-year, $80 million deal from the Food Network, man. How much money does the Food Network have?
Well, I mean, isn't he their number one guy? It's kind of like,
assume.
You know, when you go to some of these different networks and you know that if it's one show and it's one guy, that you got to take care of that guy. Like, I think with Bravo, it's Andy Cohen. He's the guy behind all of the Real Housewives. He created all those. And he's got a couple of his own shows. I think you got to take care of the head of the snake. Otherwise, the rest of it ain't
following. I mean, he's worldwide, so I can see that.
Yeah. All right, well, that's the first half hour of the program. Still got 2.5 to go. We got lots more to get to, as you heard. And we also include you. So 713-780-3776 for calls and texts. Otherwise, it's Twitch and Twitter. It's the Press Box. It's ESPN.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Box, half hour into the program. Nick and Joel taking you till 4 on a Tuesday here in Houston as we talk about anything and everything sports and otherwise, as kind of a slow night in the sports world last night, is just two NBA games, the Skeeters with Odorizzi, as we mentioned, but not a big night in terms of across the board and on the schedule. Tonight, as we mentioned, it's a bigger deal as the Astros and the Dodgers kick off a two-game series at 7:10 p.m. You got three NBA games on the docket. You got the early game, Boston and Brooklyn. You got the middle game, 9 p.m., Lakers-Suns, and then you got the late game, Mavs-Clippers. I think you're right, Nick. I mean, these are the three games that I'd be interested in, all three.
Yeah, it's just bad timing with the whole Dodgers-Astros series was my point. But, hey, I mean, you could still dual screen it. I'll probably be paying attention a little bit more to the Astros-Dodgers game anyway.
I'm going to be watching that whole thing. There's no doubt about it.
Just to see if anything pops off, you know?
I'm a little leery, though. I'm just a little leery about the fact that the Astros got swept. I feel confident early in the game they're going to be fine. But again, as you start getting in those later innings, and it, depending on how many pitches Greinke throws, at a certain point when he starts petering out, that's when I'm going to start to worry because there's no lead that's safe with that bullpen.
Yeah, and you know, Dusty's probably going to give more of a leash than you'd like to see. That's just kind of his MO, but that's what's going to happen. But I guess Zach Greinke's going to be on the round, and it's him versus Clayton Kershaw.
Good matchup. And again, Bauer tomorrow night on ESPN on a national TV game, so the whole world will be watching. So hopefully the Astros can take a stand and make things happen and put them back in a position. Because, look, the Mariners did them a favor last night. They beat the A's. They're not that far out. I was looking at the standings this morning, and as bad as that series against the Rangers was, they're still only a couple games from having the best record in baseball. So it's not like everything's out of their grasp or they lost a whole lot of ground with what went down. So it's encouraging. But now, as I mentioned yesterday, this is a massive stretch. I know it's not late in the season, but when you have a homestand where you're supposed to win anyway, and you open up with two with the Dodgers, followed by, three with the Padres, followed by the Red Sox, and you've got three either first place or playoff caliber teams back-to-back-to-back in your building, you got to come out of this homestand with a winning record.
I hope so. And look, it's still pretty early, so even if they do lose both of the games, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the world for the Astros. But from a mental standpoint, which I'm pretty big on, you know, like just keeping that core mentally strong, which I feel like they can do. But, you know, Jose Altuve doing something, even if they lose, that Altuve or Bregman or somebody from the core does something that is at least somewhat flashy, so don't feel like they're absolutely dominated. And I just don't think that's going to be the case against the Dodgers. I really don't. I see them coming out strong. I think they're excited. about the game. I'm sure they're a little nervous, but I think for the most part, they're more excited and they're up for the challenge.
I think so. And being at home, they'll be comfortable. And again, with a full house, or hopefully a full house and a massive crowd backing the team, that's got to be feeling good. That should give you some momentum. And the fact that it's the first time they've done it in quite some time. I've got friends going to the game tonight. They're really pumped.
Oh, it's going
to
be congested.
I can't wait to be in that environment where there's a loud fan base. I got juiced watching the Madison Square Garden fans of the Knicks-Hawks game.
Yeah.
As good of a game that was, it was made better by the fact that the fans were raucous.
Yeah.
They were loud.
Yeah.
They were impacting the game. You got to love that.
Yeah, and I forgot which coach said it. He said it felt like 10,000 people. I don't know what the capacity was in that particular game, but he said it felt like 10,000 people, which is going to be a lot louder than anything they've experienced in the past year and a half or so with the pandemic. So they probably, and look, Knicks, that arena's loud anyway. So I can see 10,000 fans actually be pretty loud in an arena like that, because the Knicks are that, you know, the Knicks fan base is that crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's good. Look, you know me about capacity, bro. Like, I'm all about 100% capacity.
Yes.
I'm all about going and you know, if you want to go, go. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't, don't. Like, that's how I feel about it. So I'm glad to see these big venues, even if it is 30, 40, 50,000 people in a venue. In the NFL case, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, college football, 100,000 people.
You hope it's a stepping stone, right? You hope it works for baseball and it works successfully so that by the time we get to college football and then pro football, they're like, we can do this too, and we can get back to where we were before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, everybody loved going to sporting events. Live sporting events meant something, and you really felt the energy in a building, and there was such a thing as a home court or home field advantage, which we haven't seen in over a year.
No, no, and it's going to be huge. I mean, I forgot, what's the capacity, like 38,000 at Minute Maid?
42,
something like that.
44, 40 in, around, I think 42, around 42 for max.
Yeah, that's going to be a loud crowd at Minute Maid, and it's going to be congested, and there's going to be everybody there, and that's going to be a fun place to watch a baseball game, no question.
Yeah, but then we're going to have to get some passes and start going to games like Palillo when it starts getting raucous and it starts getting good. That'll be good to see games at Minute Maid again. Probably roof closed tonight, I would imagine, because the rain is supposed to pick up this afternoon.
It's just nasty.
That's a shame.
When is that going to stop?
Well, tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I think there's a 20% chance tomorrow, and then no chance of rain, at least until later in the weekend. And then it's gone for quite a while, and the 90s come back. So hopefully we're done with the rain after today, and we can move on from that as well. I saw this story, Nick, and I was going to see what you thought about yourself personally. Because, you know, after you mentioned about Granato and the bike yesterday.
Yeah.
Then AJ, you and I were driving home, and I said roll down your window, and I was like, man, I mean, AJ's killing Granato about the fact that he couldn't change his own tire. Someone on Twitch said, could either one of you guys? I know you could, because your dad owned an auto shop and you worked there and you could. I've done it before and I could.
A lot of people can't.
That's crazy to me.
That's very common.
So we go to what can you or can't you do? And I saw that there was a guy, I want to say it was in Arizona or Oregon, that was a hiker. And he went hiking and he said he got out of sorts and lost his way. And was stuck in the wilderness for like 3 or 4 days before they found him, and they found him alive, and he was okay.
Uh-huh.
This story that I uncovered says that on studyfinds.org, the average person thinks they can survive for up to 2 weeks in the wilderness if they were stranded. Do you believe that? And how long do you think you could do it?
I forgot what the rule is. As long as you have water, I think
right.
You can go without food for a certain amount of days, but water is the struggle. So for me, I wouldn't even say 2 weeks, because I'm going under the assumption that there's no water, and I will die if I don't have water.
I would think you can find streams, lakes, whatever. It depends on where you are. Like, Arizona's different than, say, Oregon, where Oregon's a lot of, you know, rain, a lot of wetness. Desert-type conditions in Arizona might be a little bit more difficult. But how confident are you if you needed fire, whether it be to stay warm or to cook something, you could start a fire?
Not very confident.
2,000 people surveyed. 17% said they could start a fire.
And I would imagine a good percentage of that 17% are absolute liars.
How confident are you that if you got hungry, you could identify edible plants and berries for food?
I wouldn't.
I don't know that I could.
If it looks like a strawberry, I might pick at it.
Yeah.
But that's
what about
about
like
it.
Well, raspberries.
Apples. I have a pear tree in my backyard.
But raspberries, there's all, and boysenberries are, there's other berries that look like that that aren't so edible.
Oh, they'll kill you? Or what
they, some of them can be.
Oh, no.
I don't know if they can kill you, but that they would can be a problem.
That would be me. I would eat some random berry that I shouldn't eat. Then I would be laying on the grass with Machine Gun Kelly's tongue all dyed black, looking all disgusting. Yeah,
so
I would die.
The poll of 2,000 people and the survey tested respondents on their nature knowledge by showing them photos of common trees and plants. Respondents were most likely to be correct in identification of maple leaves, ferns, and a third could tell the difference between deciduous and coniferous trees, which you got me, and the fact that which deciduous trees have leaves that fall off yearly, coniferous trees have needles or scales that don't fall off. So
see,
evidently, a coniferous is a pine, and an oak tree would be a deciduous, right?
I have no idea. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of this ad I got on Instagram, and it was basically them trying to convince me to download an app. And through the app, you can put the camera on the plant, and it'll tell you if it's like, you know, if it's a weed, if it's herb, if it's you know, if it's fruit, if it's whatever. And this reminds me of that. I would need my cell phone so I can use that app to tell me if this is edible or not. That's what I would do.
Now, here's the way I was thinking about this, and I don't know where you're at with this. In terms of my level of concern, the first thing that I think I would do I would be looking for shelter. I'd be looking for someplace, because my biggest hang-up is going to be, if I go to sleep,
bobcats, tigers,
I don't
want to
wake
cheetahs
up with a bobcat or a bear or some animal hovering over me.
Agreed. I'd probably look for some shelter, too.
I think I start with shelter and water, as you mentioned, because you can survive a long time with just water. Then I'd start worrying about, like, food sources, what I'm going to prepare if I have to prepare something or find fire and do things like that. But and warmth is going to be a key.
Yeah.
But 2 weeks, I'm out. I'm going to be honest. There's no way I'm surviving two weeks in the wilderness.
That's why I'm actually pretty, like, I've gone hiking and stuff like that. Like, I'm very careful about not getting too lost, because I know I wouldn't. Like, I don't play. Like, some people are just adventurous. Like, I mean, I've done stuff like that, you know, gone skydiving. You know, I've done stuff that's, I feel like is, you know, gives you some sort of adrenaline rush. But I'm not trying to get stuck. That's a slow-ass death. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I commend you for jumping out of a plane. I don't think that's my thing. I think that I could survive a couple days out in the wilderness, but I'm not going to be boasting 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think I can do 2 weeks either. That's a lot of
time.
And
by the way, the guy looked like holy hell. I mean, he looked like he just got out of a mud wrestling fight with John Candy in stripes. I mean, he was a disaster after only a couple days. I'm like, and these people are out there going, yeah, 16 days, I got this. No, you don't. You have no freaking clue. So I figured I would get your opinion on that. All right, we're going to continue to roll through hour number one of the three-hour program. Lots more to get to. If there's something you guys want to put on the agenda, bring it to us. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. That'll get us that'll get you through on calls and texts. Otherwise, we are always interacting on Twitch and Twitter as well. It's the Press Box ESPN. Yeah.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box, wrapping up hour number one, three-hour program. It's Nick and myself till 4 as we kick around sports and other things. I was kind of scanning the globe of different stories that were out there, Nicholas, this morning. That survival story, though.
That's crazy.
I guess a lot of people have been thinking about these things since the pandemic hit. Like, it's one thing to be out and about, but what would happen if, you know, you were out and about and you didn't have all technology and everything else, and could you survive? And somebody texted us and said the rule of thumb is 3 weeks without food, 3 days without water, 3 hours without heat.
Well, if it's too cold, yeah, frostbite. Yeah, I'm sure I can see
or
that.
Or heat stroke.
But I'm assuming he's talking about super cold situations, like without heat. I think he's talking about a cold weather situation, right? I'm assuming.
I guess I could see your point that I was thinking you could get heat stroke if you're 3 hours straight in the desert or in a heat, like a Grand Canyon-like situation, but you also make a good point.
No, a heat stroke, like if it's too much heat, too. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
But that's
sure.
why I said I'd go shelter first.
Yeah.
And then water, because you can survive longer with just water. I'm not about the bug game. Like, these big-ass bugs that are coming back up out of the ground.
You're not... They don't have that in Wisconsin, do they?
No. Why is the name escaping me right now? But supposedly they spent the last 17 years underground, and now they've actually literally like surfaced, and like people eat them. They're big ass bugs. It's like when we did the.
I feel like you're talking about something different that I didn't expect. I thought you were talking about something. I didn't know they were just resurfacing and stuff like that.
No, but it's legitimately a story. They did it on the news too. They had it on someone's going to give me what they call the bugs.
Yeah.
But cicadas. They are and messing around with Dad said that. Cicadas are crazy. Every 17 years this happens. But they're big. And like people, I guess they're a delicacy. Some people eat them. And I'm thinking, like, here's the thing. When the Astros played in Seattle and they were doing that grasshopper thing.
Yeah.
If I had to, as a dare, I could eat one or two. There would never be a desire for me to eat a bug like that.
As a full entree or like a big part of your meal.
Even as an element
even
of
as
survival.
An appetizer.
I get at a certain point you have to have food.
Yeah.
But I'm not targeting bugs. No. I'm going to look for fish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to think of other things.
I'm probably just going to stick to fish because I couldn't even, like, what even if you see, like, I don't know, like an animal that you eat, like meat-wise, cow or... If you're crazy enough to eat a wild animal, like, what are you going to do? Like,
so, poor Marine says, only eat them in season. The frozen ones are no good. How about not eat them at all? I'm not in for that.
No, I'm not
in for that. You Google cicadas, Nick, they're big.
Let me Google it because I don't even, I know by looking at this, Googling these things right now, I would be absolutely disgusted.
Yeah, there's just no way whether you cook them or whatever you're doing to them, I'm out.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. I can't believe people actually... And the 17-year thing is random. Why is it 17 years? Do we know this?
No, I don't know why exactly, it's but random. I saw the story on the news that it just... That's when it happens, and they all just come out of the woodwork, literally, and then they're everywhere.
I got something you can dwell on, because you're a parent, you have kids, and you get invited to birthday parties and stuff like this. My buddy calls me up, and I want to know what... Usually, when you give a... gift to someone, you have some sort of card letting them know, hey, thanks for the invite, this is for your kid. And at the same time, if you were to get a gift for Maddie, for example, you want someone to give you that, you know, you want to see the card. Why? Because it's kind of a way to indicate who actually got you what.
Sure, right.
So my buddy went to this party and he left the gifts there, and he didn't have any, like, him and his wife completely forgot the card. And completely forgot to write any type of letter, any note saying, hey, thank you so much.
Right.
So he comes up to me and he's like, hey, what do I do? I don't want to come off as vain and say, hey, those two gifts right there that we got for you was from us. My solution was, hey, just go get a card, because you said you didn't get a card. Write in it, you know, have you and your wife sign it, right? Take a picture of it and say, hey, I'm an idiot. I totally forgot to give you the card. We have it. We hope you like the gift. Is that a smooth way to get out of it without looking vain, like you got him a gift and you want something in return? Or does that still make you look absolutely vain as a parent?
I like where you're thinking. I think
that's a white lie. It's an absolute fabrication. He absolutely lied, but I think that's a white lie.
But
I like some lies are justified.
You're on it with the card. But depending on... So it is the end result that he wants the people to realize that he did get them gifts...
No, the end result is he just wants them to know that we did give him a gift, and they want him to know it's from us without coming off as vain. Like,
I don't think it'd become a vain. I think you use the card and you say, depending on what they gave him, right? Say it's either video games or it's
something.
A gift card. And say, hey, it was great to see you at the party. Thanks so much for having us. The kids had a great time. Hopefully, John and Jenny will love their gift card from wherever and could put it to good use. Then they realize, without being vain, who it came from, and you're not overly braggadocious about, hey, we got you this and this.
Well, apparently he asked like three people. One of them went the honest card, like, be honest, just say, hey, you know, I didn't want you to think that I forgot about you, blah, 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 blah. And then the other one was like, just do what Nick said. You know, the other one was like, just the next time you see him, just say, hey, by the way, how did Sarah, for example, like the Barbie doll that I got you, or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's ways to approach it, but he was genuinely concerned about, look, I was so surprised. Like, we were on the phone for like 10 minutes talking about this. I'm like, are you really this concerned about it?
Yeah. So for before the pandemic, and Lisa's always the overly polite type. So she wants to send thank yous to everybody.
Sure.
So she's also like, if Taylor's opening her gifts, she's like, wait, who's that from? Because she wants to send a thank you note. But I know that for as many of these damn birthday parties as we've been to, and they just have like a table and everybody throws their gifts on, I'm like, there's some people I saw walk in here, didn't put, they're nose deep in all the food, the pizza, and the cake.
Yeah.
They didn't put anything on that gift table.
So I'm sure.
I want to make sure that the parents know we're here and we gave, you know, we contributed to the affair for the child.
And that's what it's about sometimes. It's not necessarily about what you got.
Exactly. But
it's
you brought
a gesture and the action, I guess.
Yes. Yes. So. I think that's completely true. The other thing that you're going to find, Nick, with more of your friends when they become parents is, and this is a problem too, is that it becomes a competition what you do for the birthday.
I know. I'm glad.
So before the pandemic, it started out with the trampoline parks. Okay. So, but then parents started to get a little wiser, and they're like, whoa, you did the trampoline park with the big place where the party's part of an overall experience where everybody's out in the open regardless. We're going to do, and it actually closed because of the pandemic. There was one in Sugar Land where you got your own private room, smaller venue, but there was like the jungle gym and like the crazy playhouses the bouncy ball pit and all these other things. But then everything was also for the party itself was in a separate room. And they would say you could either have it be Peppa Pig themed, superhero themed, Elsa, the princess themed. And so they take it a step further. Parents think that's cool. Next parent goes, well, how do I outdo that? They go to one of those wine party things, you know, where you, as couples you go and you drink wine and you do painting and stuff.
Yeah, I know.
Only they have them for cooking. So right there on the door, it says for 16 and up. But all the parents go in, and then the kids put on aprons, and they're supposed to make their own spaghetti from scratch.
Even if they're younger than 16?
Yeah,
so they're breaking
the
rules?
They were all in the kitchen, and they had people supervising, and they had kids like rolling dough and putting it through the noodle machine to make noodles. They had kids making their own cupcakes.
Do kids even want to do that kind of stuff?
I'm looking at it going, the fact that you're holding the interest of these kids for 5 minutes, let alone for the amount of time you're trying to do this, is amazing to me.
Yeah.
But there's no way this is going well.
That's beyond me. I don't see myself as a kid wanting to go in the kitchen and making pasta and stuff like that. Just call me when it's ready. Like, I'm not. Why? I would have never done that. That doesn't catch my attention as a kid, and it certainly isn't fun. Go take me back to the trampoline park. I don't know what they're doing. God, being a parent must be crazy these days.
And you know they all closed. One of the trampoline park just opened up back up. But again, because of the pandemic, they were so worried about germs.
Sure.
That a lot of these places just decided to close up shop.
I can see that.
But everybody's trying to one up. And I said to Lisa, I'm just letting you know right now. We'll go back to the place we did the whole we'll find a place again where you can just take the whole birthday party, serve pizza and cake, and they could play around at a certain place. But I'm not trying to one up anybody with these wine parties. And
you're smart for that. Believe me, you don't want to do that because then it'll just get out of hand. Next thing you know, you're going to be renting out the Playboy Mansion for a kids' party. Nobody wants to do that.
Like, well, the last one was at Lifetime Fitness, and they did it out with.
They rented out the entire.
They got the gym, and I think because you're members, it didn't cost very much. But they got the gym at Lifetime Fitness on like a Sunday afternoon. They had a magician. The kids could all play with all the kids' toys in the gym. They had pizza and cake. Slam dunk. That's easier to me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing all that other stuff.
I didn't think it was that big of a dilemma until my buddy called me. He was like, dude, what do I do? I'm like, I don't know. I would come up with a lie very quickly. Let's come up with a lie together. And my lie was come up with a card, sign it, and act like you forgot to give the card with a gift. And that way they know you actually brought something for the kids as opposed to being a cheapo, right?
Yeah.
I guess.
I think that's the bigger thing because, you know, people are already, you know, just admit that you were there and tough it out. Don't worry about what they think. No, believe me, everybody worries. And the last thing you want to be known as that cheap ass that didn't bring a gift.
Yeah.
So I think you were spot on. Yeah. Just you can use the card.
I felt like it was a white lie.
It's not really. It's not even a fib. It's kind of redirecting the attention to where it needs to be.
Yeah.
for the parent of the birthday kid.
Without looking materialistic.
Oh, they gave us this.
Correct.
And it doesn't matter how much it costs or anything else.
Yeah.
There you have it.
I don't know if he actually executed that plan, but we'll see.
At least you gave him the right advice. You could be on Dr. Phil very soon. Hey, you know what? You don't need to be Guy Fieri. You should do your own advice show. That would work. I don't know if you're getting 20 mil a year or whatever it is.
I would
take a shot at it.
I would probably force someone into suicide. I shouldn't be giving advice to anybody.
Yeah, gambling advice is one thing. Life advice can go terribly wrong. One in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show comes up next. Press Box ESPN.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.